That's Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and the magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So I'll take a few minutes to greet each other this morning.
Well, good morning. Good morning. All right, good morning. Good morning. I'm reading to you from Luke, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse number 13. Luke, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse number 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said unto him, "Who has made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And then Jesus said, "Take heed, beware, or be on guard against covetous, that is greed. For one's life does not exist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Did you catch that? And then Jesus spoke a parable unto them, and he said, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room for my crops?' And so he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barn, build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Uh-oh. "But God said, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required or demanded of you. Then who shall these things which you have provided?' So is he. Here's application. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and not rich toward God. This is a disturbing story because it casts a long shadow over our lives. The principle is easy enough to understand. Man's life does not consist in the things that he possesses. The challenging thing, I think, about the principle is this, that oftentimes we attach possessions to our identity. That is, we are prestigious if we have a lot. We live in a nice home, drive a nice car, then we're somebody. And so oftentimes we connect possessions with our identity. The more we have, the more important that we are. That's the measure of a man today. And so you see, the challenging is in the story. For some, it's rediscovering values. Because man's identity is really not related or identified with what he has. Are you listening? Man's real identity is rooted in the image of God, which America has basically forgotten. Who we are has little to do with how much money you got in the bank. And so you can see how challenging it is, because we are measured by the standards of the values of our society. So Jesus had been preaching, and it's really remarkable, because when you begin to think about what Jesus has been saying, he said, stop listening to that nonsense of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven. Don't be concerned or anxious or afraid of a man who can kill the body. After all, that's all he can do. But rather fear him, watch it now, but fear him who has the power to cast both body and soul in hell. How do you like that lesson so far? He says, look at the birds and the sparrows. See how God takes care of them. And they're more valuable than birds and sparrows and all of that stuff. And God even concerned about you and cares about you, even to the minute details in your life. He counts even the hairs. Well, that's not too hard for some of you. On your head. And out of the blue, right in the middle of the sermon, someone cries out, "Hey, Jesus! I've been cheated out of my inheritance. My brother has robbed me, and I want you to do something about it." Whoa. I mean, sometimes, you know, I get disturbed because, you know, you preach a sermon, you put your heart out there, you try to challenge brethren, admonish them, here's the word of God, and someone comes up to you afterwards and say, "Hey, where can you get a new cell phone at?" Are you going to watch the football? Right in. It's almost like he just showed up. I mean, there are hundreds and thousands of people. The crowd is so large and so huge that the people are trampling on each other. And what Jesus does, he doesn't settle to the underlying, which is animated by greed and covetousness. Do you see why? Do you see why this cast a long shadow over us? All covetousness. And And what Jesus does gets to the underlying problem. The problem is not you want justice. What's really driving you is covetousness. And by the way, he uses a word that's plural, you. He's talking about both. Because you see, the fellow that has it wants to keep it, and he doesn't want to share it. He wants it just as much as the guy that doesn't have it. And so he says, be on guard. How about that? I mean, you know, I'd be on guard if I'm up on up in Hillman at midnight. I might be watching out, you see, if I'm in a crowd of strangers and I don't know what they're up to. But think about it for a moment. How many of you this morning are on guard, watching out, beware of covetousness? And so Jesus begins to tell a story. He said, you know, there was a rich man that had a lot of money, that had a bumper crop. And it's about what to do with it. I mean, what about you? You got all the money. Think about having so much money, you don't even know what to do with it. Anybody out there like that? What shall I do with all this money? Huh? Now that you got money, you need to have security and security. To buy this and buy that, and you got to watch out. You got to get a fence. You got to get a, huh? Have you ever noticed with covetous, there's never enough? And so this man, you see, he says, what shall I do with all this stuff? And so he said, well, I think I Jesus calls this man a fool. Did y'all get that? Wait, I want to throw a little insight to it. I think this is the only story that Jesus ever told, parable, where he brings up God in it. Said, I mean, you got to put it somewhere. You just can't let it rot. You can't let the crops be ruined, right? So building bigger barns is a smart thing, business thing to do. That's a good thing. He's not a fool because he's building bigger barns and bigger buildings. That makes sense. And by the way, he's not a fool because he's rich. I know some fools that are poor. He's not a fool because he's stupid. I know some men that are pretty smart that are fools. So the question arises, why does God call this man a fool? And I want to suggest to you just a few And God calls him a fool because he doesn't recognize it's God who blessed him. Now watch it here, because America doesn't believe this. I know you got up early. I know that you're industrious. I know you worked hard. I know you did what you did. But you couldn't do it without God. Hey, you say, why? Look where I'm at. Well, God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Where do you think all these resources came from? Who do you think got the ability to give you the brains to do something? I mean, Earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So God has put all the resources out there. He didn't make you a monkey. He gave you He gave you the ability and the resources to get where you got to. Now, a whole lot of folks don't believe that. But when we forget and we fail to recognize that the source of everything on this planet gives us the ability to get where we are, God's blessed us. Now, I know I see brethren sometimes, you know, they say we give back a portion of what God has blessed. Some of them don't think they blessed them much. But it's a challenge for a lot of us to believe that it's really that God has blessed us and got us where we are today. That's number one. But it's an important point. The second thing, the reason that God called is because he left God out of his life. Now that's why some men who are rich fools, some people who are poor fools, some people who are academic, who are intelligent, that are fools. Any man that leaves God out of his life is a fool. And sometimes they don't find that out until it's too late. It's such a tragedy when you get to the end of the trail, the end of the journey of life, and say, you know what? I played the fool. I was a fool. I didn't have God in my life. I didn't care about God. I didn't want God in my life. I'm just living for myself. I don't need God. I don't care about God. I don't love God. And that's it. And then when they come to the end of life, they say, oh, man, I have played the fool. Now, let me challenge you. Because I want you to see this point. Even religious people can leave God out of their life. Even religious people can leave God out of their life. I have to assume, don't you, that this being a Jew, he's a Jew, that's who Jesus is speaking to, that man that's hoping for an inheritance wants him to settle it in a civil way. Jesus gets to the moral problem, but one thing I understand in the story, this man is a Jew, and I can assume, I believe, that he went to the synagogues. So he's a religious man of some sort. But you can see he got caught up in all the things of this life, getting caught up in making money. People get caught up in all kinds of stuff, and he really left God out of his life. That man is a fool. Number three, this man thought money could bring happiness. Did you catch it here? I will drink and be merry. Watch it now, and be at ease. I can buy what I want, get what I want, go on vacation if I want, bask on the beach if I want to. I'm going to live at ease. Interesting thing is in this, the man is perplexed and worried about what he has. And that's not ease. How many of you believe you can have all the money in the bank and you can still not be at peace? I know people that are rich that are miserable. Amen. Listen, happiness is an inside job. I'll tell you what, if you want to make your marriage a good marriage, then you be the right kind of person. Hello? If you're happy or miserable, that's you. It's an inside, it don't matter what you have. You can have all the kind, listen, if you're crazy in a little house, you'll be crazy in a big house. Huh? If you're unhappy with what you got, you're going to be unhappy with what, hey, right? See, it ain't nothing to do with all that stuff. That's why he says it's not consistent in the thing. America doesn't believe that. I ran into a person at Starbucks the other day. He says, I'm living the dream. You're working at Starbucks and that's the dream? He thought security. You notice this? He says, I have many years. I have laid up for many years. And I could eat, drink, and be merry, and be at ease. You could have all the money in the bank and drop dead tonight. It don't bring security. It can't stop you from getting cancer. It can't keep you out of the hospital corridor. In fact, the thing about money is it's going to either leave you or you're going to leave it. If you're listening, just say, uh-huh. I know money talks. It just says goodbye, right? Yeah, I know. It's not going to keep you from getting ill or going bankrupt or having a miserable life or being unhappy. It don't bring that kind of security. It never has. That's a hard lesson to learn. Because we have the notion that if we have more money, we're going to be more happy. If we have more money, we're going to be more secure. And a lot of times if people have more money, I'm just telling you, they have more anxiety. They're worried about who's going to steal their money, who's going to get their money. Well, what are you doing with my money? Hello? Now, I know sometimes people think today that preachers ought not talk about money because then you're going to meddling. But I'm telling you, if you put your trust in money, you're going to be disappointed. I don't know how much you have, don't care how much you have, but I guarantee you one thing, when you leave, you ain't taking it with you. And I'll tell you something else, because there's some young people here. I'm telling you this, it's my guess, my conjecture, at least research says that, if you're arguing about anything, usually number one's money. Did you know that? So, number one, thought, and God calls him a fool for this, thinking that that money could bring him happiness, and that money could bring him. That's why Paul, 1 Timothy 6, when he speaks to the rich, he says, trust in your riches, or be high-minded. Number five, and we're moving quickly in the lesson. Jesus says, you're a fool because, and I just kind of mentioned this, you can't take it with you. But let me tell you something. The writer in the book of Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, talks about, you know, all that laboring for money and all the accolades and achievements that has driven you, all the accumulation that you have piled up. He says, you know, it's all in vain. You want to know why? He says, when you die, you don't even know what someone's going to do with it. Then whose possession will that be, Jesus said. So here you see, here you are. You are living this life. You don't think beyond this life. You're living for yourself. You don't think beyond yourself. And all you're doing is accumulating. And then he says, you know, when this whole thing is over with, watch it now. I'm going to do something for you. After all this thing is over with and it's all gone, what did that profit you? Because he says the problem is you've been laying up treasures for yourself and not for God. There's the reason he's a fool. He says you have been so caught up in money, making money and accumulating money and all for yourself. You notice he has a high problem? Well, let me tell you a story. I got me a Labradoodle. I called up the pet place. I wanted a Labradoodle. They told me it was going to cost $800 for the pick of the litter. I said, I don't want that. Give me the one at the bottom. They said, that'd be $400. I said, okay, when you get the pups, give me a call. I want one. They called me 3 days later, said, we got one back. You can have it free. I said, I'll be there in 5 minutes. So I get my Labrador, Rosie. She's my only fan, by the way. I got Rosie, and I take her to the vet. So I got the Blue Light Special. Bargain basement. What was the point of that whole business? I don't know. There was a point. Forgot what it was, Nate. Come back to me. Any rate, there was a reason, but don't know what it was. Huh? Eye problem. There it goes. We had somebody listen this morning. Yeah, he had an eye problem. Rosie has an eye problem. Runs into things. Look how many times he says, I will. I will do this. I will do that. I will take. I will do that. We're not thinking beyond ourselves. It's all about me. Now, I'm not preaching to you because I'm calling attention to me and my stuff. You don't understand. I studied this all week. You're just getting the concise version. What am I going to do with my stuff? What am I going to do with my money? What am I going to do with my possessions? What am I going to do with what I got? If I'm not careful, if I don't think beyond myself, I'll be laying up treasures for myself and not to God. What am I going to do with my stuff? See, I'm going to build bigger barns. If he'd asked me, I'd say, why don't you do something for the poor? Why don't you help those that need help? Why don't you advance the things of the kingdom of God? Why don't you think about everything around yourself? And by the way, can I say something? We got to stop teaching our kids that the world orbits around them. Because if we're not careful, everybody's going to grow up thinking it's all about me. And this man doesn't get beyond himself. Oh, I have enough now that I can. He don't understand. God says, tonight is it. In fact, it's rather interesting in the Greek because it's so forceful. He doesn't say your soul's required. He says it's demanded. You want to know why it's demanded, Dan? Because the Spirit returns to God who gave it. Listen to me for a moment. Your life is on loan. And when that debt is up, God wants that spirit back, and you're going to be accountable for how you lived your life in this life. Did y'all catch that? I was reading this week. How many remember the story about Scrooge and Christmas Carol? Anybody remember that story? About the Hollywood versions. It's rather a dark, horrible moment because Scrooge gets to see a glimpse of his life after death. He's in his bedroom watching the maid steal his curtains and other maids taking all his clothes. And even the undertakers are taking his gold watch and chain. And they're all laughing. They're all laughing and say, what a miserable fool this man was. Because he lived for himself. And he wasn't rich towards God. He was only rich toward himself, restricted to this life. Hold on a minute. Everything orbit around him. He's a fool not because he's rich, not because he's industrious, not because he worked hard. He was a fool because he wasn't rich towards God. And so God says, this night, I have plans. No, you remember all those plans? I'm going to go to Florida, you know, in the winter. And I'm gonna bask on the beach, and I'm gonna live in a nice home, and I'm gonna eat, drink, and maybe I got enough money to live for a long time. And God says, well, I got some news for you. This night your soul is required. Now watch here. I'm gonna do something a little different here. We're gonna quit. But I want to do something. I wanna invite you to the funeral of this rich man. Now, preachers are very delicate and diplomatic about doing funerals. Even if a wicked man dies, we don't want to say anything. But since he's already been dead for a long time, and all his friends and family are dead, then we're going to say anything we want to. So I want you to come to the viewing hours and hear the sermon. And here's how we're going to do it. In this coffin, you see a worldly man that never loved the Lord. And if he ever did go to church, he was favored by hearing the word of God. He was warned about covetous, but he didn't care. To live for himself, and now he's dead. He got what he wanted in life. He lived for what he wanted in life, and he's dead and he's lost. When's the last time you heard a sermon like that at a funeral? Now, I don't do that. It might not be apropos, but this guy was wicked and evil. Why? Not because of any morality. Simply lived a life without God. And God said, you're a fool. You live without me. Your life is dependent on me. Your future is dependent on me. Your eternity is dependent on me. And you ignored that and did not live for that. And you're a fool for doing it. And I'll tell you what. He wasn't the last fool. There might even be some folks here today for God. There may be some wrapped up and tangled in making money. They don't have time for God. God is foreign to their concept. They don't value that. And so it's just preaching. And what we fail to understand, the Word of God is serious, and we ought to really listen to it. The man that God called a fool was a man that didn't live for God. Lived for himself and was not rich toward God. How about you? Would you say this very moment and this very hour that you are rich toward God, that you're laying up treasures in heaven, you're living for the Lord, doing the things that God wants you to do, valuing the things? Would you say, you know what? Man, I'm right in the same. It's amazing. You know what? There are some people every Sunday that can tune into the sermon and tune it out during the closing prayer. Amen. And there's some of you today maybe not even tuned in. And you'll forget everything that was said by the time you get home, if it even takes that long. And yet the day will come when we're going to decide whether or not we've been a fool or a wise man. If I lived for God or I didn't live for God. I hope it's God doesn't say, you know, Bailey, you were a fool. Or Dan, you were a fool. or Nate, you are a fool. I hope that day never comes where God will say, you were wise to live your life for God. How many of you remember Bob Hope? Anybody remember him? Did you know that, man, that guy was rich as you could get? He had, I believe, millions and millions. He was a multimillionaire. And did you know that Bob Hope lived to be 100 years old? Did you know on his 95th birthday, five presidents went to his birthday party? Did you know that Kennedy gave him the Presidential Medal of Honor? And not only that, but the Queen of England gave him whatever that medal is they got over there. But whether you live to be 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100, the day comes when you got to leave this planet. And that day is going to determine whether or not you're a fool or a wise man. Now, you got to make a decision. What am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? Well, I would say you better start laying some treasures up in heaven. You better start thinking about being rich to God. Better start thinking about doing the things that God wants you to do in His kingdom. You want to start thinking that way. Amen? Well, how's the football game going? You know where I can get a good cell phone? What's for dinner later? What's on television tonight? Is there a good movie? Or beware, watch out. Be rich toward God. What's going to stick with you today? If you're here now, I know that this can be unpopular. I know that. But I'm trying to challenge you. I'm trying to challenge me. Because I know, inevitably, this whole business ends. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying to tell you that in another couple of years, some of these pews are going to be empty with some of the people that were sitting in them. How many believe that? You don't get to live forever. Life is a journey, and you got to decide how you're going to go through it. You better decide. You better decide. You better decide. And so, you know, the Bible says that Jesus is the Christ. I'm making it easy. That's reality. He offers to you eternal life. That's a hard thing to turn down, isn't it? And the way you enter into eternal life is to believe on Him, repent of your sins, to live, be immersed in the waters of baptism, and then begin the journey. It's easy to forget all that and get caught up in the values of our culture. And we better start reversing some of those and rediscovering some of them, because we've lost a lot of those. I know it's long, but I hope that I've said something today that'll make you think a little bit as we stand and sing. What is it?